everyone. This is Alyssa Amoroso, and you may know me as Publicity on Instagram, but now I'm putting my phone down to chat with everyone from reality stars to fashion influencers to leading industry execs. We're going to be dishing on the things you don't see on social media. So turn your volume up because things are about to get juicy. This is the Publicity Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Publicity Podcast. I am your host, Alyssa Amoroso. Happy hump day. Welcome back. I have finally some life updates to share this week. I know that every week I come on here and I'm like, there's nothing new. It's quarantine. Life sucks. This week I kind of feel like I have some stuff to update you guys about. So I'm going to do that. If you guys are here for my interview with Nadia from Indian Matchmaking, so great to have you. I am going to get to that a little bit later in the episode. First, I'm going to do a little bit of a personal update, and then we'll just take it from there. So I'll talk about dating first because I feel like so many weird things happened this past week. I just feel like it was one of those days in the universe where, or one of those weeks in the universe where, like, when it rains, it pours type of thing. You know, when you just hear from exes, like, all the time at one moment, and you're just like, what is in the air this week? So last week, I'm sitting in bed, and all of a sudden, I get a Snapchat from a guy that I went on a few dates with. I really liked him, and then he completely ghosted me. So after the ghosting, he kind of fell off the face of the earth for like 6 months. And then this was like, keep in mind, this was like 2 years ago. So for 6 months, he went completely MIA, never heard from him again. And then around the 6 month mark, friended me on Facebook. Like, what a creeper. It's like, could you at least friend me on Instagram? Then started Snapchatting me. Just like pictures that I could tell he was sending to a lot of people, like reply chug or him just like drinking a beer by a pool, like just like stupid shit. I never responded. I don't really even use Snapchat. And then all of a sudden I'm sitting in bed and I get a Snapchat. I open it up. It's from him. It is a graphic penis picture. You guys, it wasn't a naked penis. It was his penis in boxer briefs, but like it was like clinging. I don't even know how to describe this. It was like clinging so you could see the full outline, like everything. And the caption said something like, I just hate, no, it said, every time I try to get up, this thing just gets in the way. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed for him just talking about this. I was like, what is this? I never responded. My friends are like, you should have said something nasty back. And I was like, not nasty in like a dirty way, like nasty in a bitchy way. And I was like, no, because I'd rather him feel so mortified that I opened that and didn't even respond than him to get a rise out of me, good or bad. Like, I'd rather him be like, oh my God, this is so awkward. I just sent this random girl a sext and she didn't even respond. Like, that to me is such a bigger reward than being like, ew, or ooh, yeah. You know what I mean? So I literally just left him unread. And like, it wasn't welcomed. Like, I really didn't need to see a penis outline at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday. Like, it just was not the vibe. It was so unwelcomed. I just was like scared. So something's in the water. So then I'm on a dating app, and on Hinge, like, you could like people proactively and they'll get a notification. And I get a notification that this guy I used to date, again, from 2 years ago, liked me and reached out. Weird sign number two. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Okay. Today, another old flame DM'd me on Instagram. Just being like, what did he say? Oh, he was like, ugh, I'm hating New York. It's so boring. Like, what have you been doing? Are you still in the city? Which was like kind of weird that he was DMing me when we have phone numbers. So we're going back and forth a little bit. And then I was like, I just DM'd him and was like, text me. So he texts me and we're talking. And he like references a time that we made out on a snow day a few years ago. He's like, haven't seen you since that snow day. So, like, clearly he's alluding to, like, the time that something happened between us. And honestly, we have seen each other since then. And then I just kind of ignore it. And then I was like, I asked about a mutual friend of ours. I was like, how is so-and-so? Like, he seems so happy in his relationship. I'm so happy for him. And he's like, yeah, they're in love. It's so great. And I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. And, like, what's new with you with dating? Just meaning, like, you know, just asking. Because we're friendly. Like, we're friends. It's not weird. And he goes, you know, still with my girlfriend. And I was like, what? First of all, you just made a reference to a time that we hooked up. Second of all, I had no idea he was in a relationship. So obviously I went straight to his Instagram and looked, and he did have a picture with a girl, but she was a wedding date of his. So I like just figured he took a girl as a date. Like, I didn't think anything of it. Oh, and I should also mention, before that, he was saying to me, before I asked the girlfriend question, he was saying to me how he's so lonely in the city. And I was like, oh my God, let's go get a drink. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, next week works for me. And he's like, okay, sounds good. And then I realized he has a girlfriend. And I'm like, I literally just asked this dude out on a date. Again, we're friendly. So, like, I didn't take it as a date. I just thought it was, like, two old friends catching up. But I still feel as though it's sketchy. I would have never asked that had I known he had a girlfriend. And then he made another comment, like, saying something about, like, yeah, I really wish we could go back in time to that snow day. And I just said, well, you're in a committed relationship and I'm just looking for the right type of guy, and just like shut it down. And I think he was mostly being friendly but also being creepy by mentioning times that we were like physical. So like, again, another ex. So these are all happening in one moment. Then I matched with this guy in a dating app, and it was like one in a million. Like, I've never had such an amazing conversation with someone on a dating app in my life. Like, we were talking back and forth on the app for like an hour, and then finally, like, boom, 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 like texting, not waiting, not playing games, like being so honest and open, both of us. Like, it was such a great conversation. And then he goes, like, let me get your number, and we move it to text. We talked for 3 straight hours, and he was being so vocal and mushy, and like, I've never had a first conversation with someone like this. Like, I definitely want to stay in touch. Like, you are amazing. And I even said to him, I was like, dude, stop hyping me up, because I have no room to grow. I could only fall, because you're literally putting me on a pedestal. And like, let's just wait until we meet and see if we vibe before you start saying all of this stuff. Because honestly, I really believe in my heart, like, talk is cheap. And I felt like he was being so communicative that it was almost a red flag to me, because I was like, you're acting like you're in love with me. And although the conversation is going so great and I was really enjoying myself, I was like, slow your roll, you know? My gut's always right, because guess what? I haven't heard from him again. It's been a week. And this guy was fawning all over me. He kept being like, I can't believe I'm talking to someone as great as you. Like, just blowing smoke up my ass, you know? And never heard from him again. That's it. I feel like just so many things happened in a span of so many days, with like so many exes and weird occurrences. And then this new guy popping up. And there was also, this is hard to explain, but my sister and her husband always joke about my future boyfriend or husband, and they call him a name. Let's say, I'm just going to pretend the name is Matthew. They'll be like, oh, when Matthew's in the picture, or when Alyssa and Matthew get married, like, as a joke, they call him like Matthew. It's not that name, but I'm just using that as the code name. And they'll just say that because they joke. They'll be like, oh, when Matthew's sitting at the Christmas table with us, or at the dinner table. And this guy that I had the amazing conversation with on the dating app, his name was, say, Matthew. So I was like, oh my God, what are the chances? I've never dated someone with this name. And now my sister and her husband always joke about my husband being named this, and that's this guy's freaking name. And it just felt like so serendipitous, because we were having this amazing conversation and joking and laughing, and literally I've never heard from him again. So This is why I have trouble on the dating apps. It's like the good ones aren't as good as they seem, and then the shitty ones are just as shitty as they seem. So that's that. I want to talk about The Bachelor a little bit. So I'm pissed at Claire. Now, I don't know the full story, and I guess we won't know it until the show airs, but here's why I'm pissed. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, let me just back it up a little bit. Claire Crawley was casted as The Bachelorette, and she was 12 days into filming, and she decided, I've found love, and I no longer want to continue on with this journey. Now, that's what the rumors say. I have a feeling the show will portray it as she found love and we're okay with her not continuing on. But I don't think that's the truth. The rumors say that she stopped showing up to things. She said, I found love. There's no reason for me to be here. I'm out. And let me just say, if that is true, I am pissed. Because production and the show moved hell and high water to get this show off the ground during Corona. There are so many people's jobs on the line. There is so much money, probably millions of dollars spent. And you're going to quit the fucking show? Sorry to curse, but I'm pissed. It's like, do you know how many people want to be The Bachelorette? They took a chance on you. They really took a chance. Because the public, a lot of the newer people that watch the show don't know who Claire is. They wanted to take a chance on her. And then for her to just quit, it's like, I get that you found love so soon into filming, but so have so many past bachelors and bachelorettes, but they continue on with the show and they're still open to the experience because that's what you signed up for and that's the contract that you sign. So if it is true that she tried to quit, I honestly find it so selfish because so many people's jobs and so much money is on the line. And I get that the show is about finding love and I want everyone to ultimately find that. But at what expense? The expense of hundreds of other people? Like, I don't know. It really rubs me the wrong way. That said, I'm so happy that Tayshia is the new Bachelorette because I thought she should have been it from the beginning. First of all, she's a black female. We wanted to see a black female in there. We got her finally. She's such a great catch. She's so skinny, amazing body, so beautiful, so smart and articulate. Like, I'm really, really, really pumped about Tayshia. So I guess the fans got what they really wanted after all, but I'm just really pissed that it was handled in such a weird way. Again, I don't know the truth of the situation. I could be mad about nothing. Maybe production was like, look, leave the show. But I really don't think they would do that unless they were really having a hard time with her and kind of were backed into a corner. So that's how I feel. Last thing that I want to talk about is just how annoying people are with the social distancing thing. Like, I dined out with my parents in New Jersey and we went to an outdoor restaurant that was doing outdoor dining and our server had his mask pulled around his chin the entire time. And I just wanted to be like, are you serious? And like, I don't know why we didn't speak up. Like, something about it is awkward. Like, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to make him feel awkward, but it's like, why do I care more about him than the fact that I feel awkward? And so it was just pissing me off. I feel like people in New Jersey, down the shore area where my parents live, like, are being so negligent. And honestly, it's just disgusting. Like, people in New York, I feel like, are taking it so much more serious. Everyone wears masks. Everyone's so on top of things. And then you go to New Jersey, and it's like the wild, wild west. And I just don't understand it. So that is my third rant of the day. If you can't tell, I'm walking around my apartment. Sorry if I'm making noise. I have to go pick up groceries that got delivered. And I also need to eat because I really haven't ate much today. And if I don't eat soon, I may pass out. So if you guys are new here and you just listened to that, I hope you got to know me a little bit better. Thank you. If you guys are day ones, you know who you are. I love you guys. Thank you for always tuning in. Please rate me 5 stars and leave me a review. It's the best way to support this podcast and the best way to keep me afloat. So I really appreciate it. And what else? That's it. This is my interview with Nadia, who I should mention I went to high school with, guys. Yes, we went to high school together. I feel like I didn't even say that on Instagram, and I wanted to kind of surprise you guys with that here. So I actually talked to Nadia before the show aired and gave her some pointers on dealing with social media and dealing with the internet. And I'm just so proud of her, and she's such an awesome girl. Her brother was in my grade, and she was in my sister's grade, and I'm really proud to see someone from Montville representing. So here is my interview with her. I hope you enjoy. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Publicity, PublySSity. It is spelt the exact same way as the podcast. So I hope to talk to you soon. Thanks, guys. Guys, I am here with Nadia Jagasar from Indian Matchmaking on Netflix. Hi, Nadia.
Hey, Alyssa. How are you?
Good. How are you? We were just chatting a little bit about how busy you are.
Yeah, it's been busy in like such a great way, but I'm trying to stay afloat right now.
Oh my God, I'm sure. I mean, it's so funny because I explained a little bit in my intro, but Nadia and I are from the same hometown, and we chatted a little bit before the show came on air, and I was basically saying to her, I'm like, you know, with Netflix, it's one of those things where if it's on the homepage, like it might get really crazy just because we've seen it happen with Too Hot to Handle or Love is Blind. And to see that Thursday, it be on the homepage, I was like, yes, girl, you made it.
That was the most surreal feeling, like turning it on. And when you click on it, it opens up like the larger screen, and then to see myself there was extremely surreal. I mean, it's still surreal, everything. I don't feel like I'm living in my own life at this point.
It's so crazy. And I feel like what's even better, and like, I know you're modest, so you probably won't agree, but like seeing that you're like the face of it, like you're everywhere. I was like, this girl smashed it. Like you're on every news article, you're in all the promo images. Like it must feel so special to get so much love like that. Do you feel the love?
100% So, I have gotten nothing but sweet messages, from people all over the world. People I haven't spoken to in years, people who I've dated or anything like that. Just like so many people just sending like, oh, we're rooting for you, or like, you know, we're behind you or support you, and we hope you find love, and don't worry. Like the sweetest things I've ever heard in my life. And so it's been quite a journey, and I'm really enjoying it. And so thankful that, you know, people are responding so well to the show.
That's so good, because like the opposite thing that could happen where you go on a show and you just get the worst feedback. And it's like when you're getting that much negative feedback, it probably feels like the world hates you at once. But when you're getting that much positive, you're like, oh my God, there's so many nice people out there. I didn't even realize the internet could be such a kind place.
I know. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I haven't, you know, knock on wood, gotten any like mean or hateful messages at all. But then I'm like, all these people are invested in my love life. And I guess I was like, well, I guess I put it out there for people to be invested in it. So, yeah, but everyone's been so sweet and so supportive. I've gotten proposals from like everyone and their moms being like, oh, I have a cousin or a brother or this or that. Like, I'd love to hook you up. Here's like their IG or here's their LinkedIn profile. I'm like, I'm good.
I literally got proposals in my question box for you.
Oh my God.
People being like, ask her if she's single. I'd love to take her out, or like ask her if she'll marry me. I was like, oh my God. And I told you this was going to happen to you because
I know,
like, I know, well, especially because like culturally, you know, everyone wants to settle down. They want to meet their perfect match, and then going on a show with love. And then you were portrayed so well on the show, and that really is how you are in real life. So I was like, this girl's going to be flooded.
Yeah, it's, I mean, my mom's even getting like DMs on Instagram of being like, hi, auntie, like, please send this to your daughter. Like, do you think your daughter would want to go out with me? Here's all my like stats and stuff like that. And my mom's like, what do I do with this? I'm like, Ma, delete.
Stop. I feel like what you need to do once thing, like once the dust settles a little bit, is go through some of them and like try to see, like this literally might be a way for you to meet someone. So I know it's probably just such an abundance right now, but if I literally beg my followers, I'm like, do you guys have anyone for me? I'm so single. No one sends me anyone. So I feel like the fact that you have all these people, like that's better than no options.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'm sure there are some great candidates in the mix, but it's just getting lost right now. Yes. But the strangest part of it all is like my cousins or like my friends or like close people in my life who know I've been single for so long. They're like, they see the show and now they're all of a sudden, they're like, oh, I have this great guy for you. Like, I've been single for 6 years. Where have you been?
Yeah, that makes no sense. I'd be like, no, nothing is more annoying than when you're single and someone goes up to your other single friends and they're like, oh, I have this great guy for you. It's like, okay, so clearly you don't think we're a match because I've been waiting around for all these years.
Right.
That's fine. So funny. I literally received so many questions for you, like more than most people, which I just thought was like, just goes to show the power of the show. And I do want to ask some of those. I kind of love when people submit questions because I'm like, you guys literally did my research for me. Like these are all things I was going to ask anyway, but they just put it all in one place for me. But
love it.
Before we get into that, let's talk through your journey through the show a little bit. So we see you going out with three different guys. I think the viewer could just tell the first one, like, it just was not a match at all.
Yeah.
There was just nothing there, you know?
Right. And I can get along with almost anybody. But I think, you know, what everyone saw was actually what happened. So it was,
It's funny because I took something away from you. Like, I liked that on the dates you would ask, like, oh, do you have any like allergies or like restrictions?
Sorry. Your like audio is breaking up a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Could you hear me better now?
Better. Yeah.
I said I took like a little something away from you, like a learning. I liked how when you were on the dates, you were like, you would ask, oh, are you drinking? Or, oh, do you have any food allergies or restrictions? Because I feel like I would be the one like, let's order the mini hot dogs. And then And it was so funny because every time you asked it, I always felt like they had an elaborate answer back. And I was like, good thing you asked.
Yeah. Yeah. And like part of me was also like, well, you know, they knew what my requirements were, like, you know, that I drink and that I eat, you know, everything I eat meat. So it was just interesting to be with a guy who doesn't drink or who was choosing not to drink, and then a guy who converted to veganism. So I was like, okay, but yeah, happy I asked because that could have been very awkward. Or more awkward.
It was like one after the other. Like there was a situation. I was like, oh my God, like I never knew going to get like a drink or eat with someone had so many restrictions.
Yeah.
So then we see your second relationship. How do I say his name?
Vinay or Shaker?
Vinay. Okay, I thought it was that, but I didn't want to be super fake.
Yeah.
Be like Vinay. Yeah. So I've seen some things online, like he's talking to the press a little bit or like putting out a statement. And it's interesting because obviously the show depicted it as him kind of standing you up. It honestly sounds like he was wishy-washy the entire time. Have you like combated those rumors at all?
I have not. What viewers saw on the show was my story. And so I didn't feel the need to respond. Everyone was kind of taking the response of the show in a different way. And so, I'm not engaging in that because everyone saw what happened.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like, we saw what we saw from your perspective. And I guess like, you know, everyone kind of walks away with something feeling a different way. It always reminds me of that show, The Affair, how they show two people's perspective and they're always so far off. And you're like, oh my God, this is like such a crazy, you have to see it if you haven't. It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't.
Okay. So then I did get some questions about him, but I think basically people were just so excited because on the show, it seems like something clicks and like it's going well. And then come to find out that it like crashed and burned. We're all like, what?
Yeah, it was confusing to me too. Don't worry.
Oh my God. And then, so then your third and final match shaker, is it?
Yeah. Shaker. Yeah.
I mean, that was so open-ended that when your episode ended, I didn't know it was the end of seeing you. I don't know if I was like on my phone or something. I didn't get that that was the last time. So I'm like watching two episodes after that and I'm like, where's Nadia? Like I kept being like, I was so confused. She never came back. And then all of a sudden the finale happens and I didn't even know it was the finale because I just was like watching without even looking at the episode numbers. Yeah. All of a sudden it's the finale and I'm like, she never came back. I like couldn't believe it ended that way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was my last match, and we did end up dating for a few weeks after the show, or after like filming had ended. But then, you know, our stars weren't aligned, and that was kind of it. But he's a good guy, and I wish him well. But yeah.
And you guys also live in different cities, which I imagine isn't easy. Like at least the other two were more in your area. It's really hard to start a new relationship like based on long distance, I would feel.
Yeah, I've done the distance thing before, and it honestly, sometimes I like it more because you like really appreciate the time that you have with that person, and then you're also forced to communicate more, or like, you know, just talking. And so I think it helps build like a great foundation, but yeah, it is hard, especially when both people are, you know, kind of busy and, you know, hours get in the way. We were talking sometimes at like 2-3 in the morning, 'cause that was like the only time that we had to connect. Wow. Yeah. So it was hard, but you know, you make it work if you want to. And yeah,
that's true. No, I agree. I mean, I think dating is all about like timing.
Your audio again.
Oh no. That's so weird because I usually have good Wi-Fi in here. Does it go back in?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, but it's like cutting in. Yeah, it's just in and out.
I'm trying to think. I wonder if I switched to my room. Let me try.
Sorry.
I usually do it in my room, but it might also just be connection on your end. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I went on to my network and my laptop. Like, I haven't had a problem.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Is it better at all?
It sounds better. We'll see. By the way, love your new art.
Thank you. Literally just, like, plop into my bed. What were we saying? Oh, talking until 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like with relationships, you kind of just have to be on the same wavelength in terms of like wanting the same thing at the same time. Like, I really feel like you could have the right connection, but at the wrong time. And it's never going to work unless you both want the same things out of the relationship at the exact same time.
Agreed. 100%. And I think that's like 90% of the struggle of like finding a boyfriend.
Oh my God. Same girl. Okay, I'm gonna jump into some of these questions because, like I said, there's so many good ones. Someone just said that they want to see more of your Bollywood dance moves. So, just a note, I think you should post some videos.
Coming soon.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
How do you think the show depicted the traditional Asian female versus the modern Asian?
I think there were examples of both. I feel like you saw, maybe not necessarily female, but I feel like Akshay and his family kind of portrayed a more, very much so, traditional style. And then you have like myself, Aparna, Ankita, who are very much like modern, strong women. So I think they did a good job of like balancing the two.
Yeah, I actually really liked that they showed both. And I also really liked that they showed people that were like straight up living in India and then people that were living in the US, because I felt like it was such a broad look at like tradition as a whole.
Yeah. And across, you know, seeing, you know, everyone was kind of in that same like millennial age group, and seeing, you know, the differences between India and here, how we approach dating, how our families approach our dating situations, or how involved or not involved they are. I think it was, you know, I think they did a great job in covering that spectrum.
Totally. I really enjoyed it because I feel like as a viewer, I learned so much, and especially about like your ancestry. And someone wrote in saying that they found out the truth behind their ancestry because of you. And I just thought that was so
good.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's amazing. I know so many people have shared their stories with me of like, oh, you know, I also am Guyanese, or I'm Indian from Fiji, or I'm Indian from South Africa, or something like that. And they were like, you know, our ancestors, again, same thing, just left India a little bit sooner than everybody else's did. They just made a little like pit stop before they got to America. And so like hearing all of those things and people saying like, we love that you represent us. And I was like, that didn't even cross my mind until after this came out and I started getting messages about it. And I was like, that's such a cool and such a powerful thing for me, but I'm so proud.
It's also because it's like you're normal. So you don't think about it as much because it's just what you know. And then when you realize all these other people are like, oh my God, me too. You know, I have a similar background. It's so much more relatable when people could really draw their own experience from your story.
Yeah.
And then I have another question from someone saying, and I love this, just saying, can you share some of your learnings from this whole process of matchmaking?
Some of my experiences?
Some of your learnings.
Oh, some of my learnings. So I think one of the biggest things that I took away from this was that matchmaking is not magic. Like, you know, what Simanti does is actually very difficult. And it's not like you put all of your criteria into a hat and she just like pulls out a husband or a wife magically. At the end of the day, it's still the two people who want to like make it work. She'll make that connection for you. But like, if you don't try, then what's the point? Like, she's not there like coaching you through the whole thing. So I think that was probably the biggest one. My other one was that, you know, don't take everything at face value. So someone, you know, people might look great on paper, but if the connection actually just isn't there, then it's not there. You don't force, you know, a round peg into a square hole. Like, yes, it might look nice and you're like, okay, this is great. But like, you know, sometimes those things don't align. So I think those are probably the two biggest takeaways from the whole thing.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I agree. Like, you see someone on paper and you're like, oh my God, doctor, this, that. And then you meet them and there could be literally nothing there. And at the end of the day, you're marrying someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with. It's not about what college they went to.
Exactly. I mean, they can lose their job tomorrow, like the day after you get married. So like, what does it matter what they do? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I never understood. I mean, okay. I do understand why people are attracted or like, you know, quote, have part of their criteria. Like, oh, I want this person to have a certain job or make a certain amount of money. But yeah, like they literally can lose their job tomorrow. And like, then what? You know, so it's interesting.
There's literally a motorcycle going by. People heard that. I completely agree. This is what it's like recording in New York City. There's like always noises going on outside. I think this was interesting. And this comes up a lot with some of my Jewish friends, actually, because I feel like they like to date within the religion as well. I guess in your sense, it's not just a religion. It's more of a ethnicity. Mm-hmm. Do you only want to marry an Indian guy, or are you looking for someone with just the same values as you?
I am definitely open to anyone who shares the same values or, again, that I have that connection with. I just felt like it was always easier to date Indian guys because, like I said on the show, there was just a lot less that I kind of, like, had to explain to them.
Totally.
But if someone was willing to, you know, put in the time and energy to learn about me and like appreciate all of the different facets, then I mean, I am 100% open. I just haven't met someone like that yet.
No, totally. That makes sense. It's like dating someone from like the area that you come from even. It's like if you date someone from the same town, you already have so much less to explain because they know your upbringing. It's
right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. There's so many good ones in here that I'm trying to be choiceful. Okay. Let's see. A lot of them are like, are you still dating? What happened to Vinay? Like, yeah. All kind of things that we answered. Did you feel that things were edited to portray a different story, or did you feel like things were pretty true to what happened in real life?
They were true to what happened in real life. Like I said, I got a lot of questions like that too. Like, was this scripted? Was this not? And I was like, I'm not an actress. Like, this is literally me, like, all day, every day. And all of the stories or all of the scenes that you saw were, you know, what I went through. And so, no, I do not think they were scripted or set up.
Also, like, I think it's pretty obvious that you were so, like, authentically yourself. Like, that's why I think people were drawn to you so much, because you were just, like, laughing and open and yourself and goofy at times and endearing. And, like, it just was so authentic that, like, you can't fake that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think they did a great job at, like, capturing my essence. I feel like you said, I was laughing and I was crying, and I'm like that at work. I'm like that at weddings. I'm like that with my friends and family. Like, that is literally me 24/7. So I don't think I could have, like, you can't fake tears. Well, like I said, I'm not an actress. I can't fake tears, cry on demand, things like that. So,
No, that makes
interesting
sense.
How people view it.
Totally. Is there a celebrity or reality star or person that has messaged you or reached out that you were surprised at? Like, anyone that you've reached where you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe that person just watched me on TV.
So I hope that Zac Efron has been watching me. I haven't gotten a DM from him yet, but who knows, I might just be lost in the shuffle. But I think the biggest one that surprised me was one of my favorite Indian designers. Her name's Masaba Gupta. I'm like obsessed with all of her clothing. And I had just ordered these masks from her, and I took a picture and I like tagged her in it. And she reposted my Instagram story and was like, Nadia from Indian Matchmaking knows and likes my stuff. I loved her on the show. I called my girlfriend. I was like, I'm sweating right now. I'm like, Masaba knows who I am. So that was probably like the biggest shock for me. And then she like DM'd me and I was like, wow. I was like, because I really relate to her story a lot. So her dad is also West Indian. He's like a West Indian cricket player. And then her mom is Indian and she was like a dancer. She's in like some pretty iconic like Bollywood songs. And so like, I just totally gravitated towards her. And the fact that she was like, Nadia from Indian Matchmaking. I was like, you. I was like, what do you mean me? So I think that was like probably the coolest. But like I said, I'm slowly but surely going through my DMs, and I haven't come across anyone super crazy yet, but a bunch of people have been tagging Mindy Kaling. And so I hope Mindy is watching too.
That's so cool, because I love that she was excited about you and you were excited about her. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah, equally fangirling.
Oh, I love that. So, yeah, and maybe you can collaborate down the road or wear some clothes or something. I feel like it's such a good, like, that's such a great connection to make.
Yeah.
So another question from someone said, if given a chance, will you go to another matchmaker again?
I'm not closed off to the idea. I think right now I'm just trying to like lay a little low. if the opportunity comes around, I'm definitely open to it. But because like I said, I have seen it work. Like, my parents were a match. And so I think there is power to it, but maybe not right now.
Totally. No, that makes sense. I think it would be a lot to do it again right now. It's like, after the show, it's a lot. And you also have so many guys like knocking down your door right now that I feel like you literally don't need a matchmaker. You're like, I have all these matches. They're just sitting in my inbox. Like, I need to comb through them.
Exactly. I have all of these other, you know, people like reaching out, like I said, oh, my brother, my cousin, my so-and-so, my neighbor, like all this stuff. So it's very sweet that, you know, people are thinking of me.
That's literally so nice. How do you balance your work life, personal life, being a business owner and every other activity? And I just want to jump in because I was talking to you and I know that you balance so much and it seems like your plate is so full. So how are you balancing it? If you are, I know things are still probably hectic in this very moment. How do you feel like striking that balance between everything?
So I'm going to answer this in two parts. So first will be pre-show and then post-show. Yeah. So pre-show, I would say like it was just prioritizing. I put, you know, I'm very passionate about what I do, both my day job and, you know, owning my own business. So I was very excited to do both of those things, having a social life, making time for dating, making time for friends and family. That just was always such a part of my natural routine that, nothing really was affected by that. And yeah, there are times where I would like say no to hanging out with friends because I had, you know, contracts to do, or I had a wedding the next day or something like that. Post-show has been a little different. So I actually finally asked for help, which is something that's very hard for me to do because I like doing everything myself. When I ask people for help, I feel like I'm putting them out, you know, I'm asking so much of them to do. And so I finally asked for help, and it's been quite a relief. And so it's helping me manage a little bit more and focus on, you know, talking to, you know, connecting with people like yourselves and doing podcasts, and just having time to like eat, cause that's gone off the radar. But yeah, it's like I said, it's all good things. And I'm so passionate about this and I love connecting with people, which is why I'm trying so hard to like go through my DMs and respond to everybody. But yeah, it's been a little difficult, but I think at the end of the day, like I still kind of hold true. Like people make time for what they choose. So sometimes if I'm up until 1 or 2 in the morning working, like that is what it is. Because maybe I chose to go out to dinner, I chose to do something else. So you just make time for what you feel is important.
And my advice to you is when you are ready to start dating again, I know you might be, but just in the pandemic, I know it's hard as is and all this is really hectic for you. My advice is like, don't book yourself up so much that you don't have time to date. Cause like, you don't want to put it off another 2 years, 3 years, like just knowing that that's something that you're interested in, like hearing how busy you are, I'm like, oh my God, like she's probably so busy. So you can't neglect yourself, you know, to please others.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good piece of advice, which I will try to use once I'm ready.
Yeah. Because when you're a working woman who's just trying to do it all, you put work ahead of like your own personal stuff sometimes. And it's like, then you just feel like you keep putting stuff off, you know, at least that's how I am. Yeah. So that's just my advice. But
I appreciate
someone. And I think like, have you been trying to date in quarantine or has it been just non-existent?
It's like nearly impossible, honestly. Like I know like all of the apps say like, oh, you can virtually date now, but like, I know going on a date is also like, you know, you're just walking into a stranger, but I just feel strange FaceTiming with a stranger, which is essentially what it is, right? Just like a virtual video call. So I don't know. I haven't really been doing that during quarantine.
And I feel like now's a good time for you to just take in this experience. And then in a month or two, when, you know, it's hit you, I'm sure it's not even hit you yet, then you could have some time to like think about it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Every new thing that happens, I'm like, whoa, like what's happening? So yeah, it's been a surprise every day and I'm slowly but surely like, you know, adjusting accordingly.
I love that. So I'm so excited to continue to follow your journey and just see where everything takes you. Where could everyone just like follow you, keep up with you? And do you have anything exciting in the works or anything you want to share?
Yeah. So, I'm currently working on a book with one of my girlfriends. So that'll be, hopefully by the end of the year. And then you can follow me on Instagram at Nadia Jagasar. If you have any questions, comments, I'd love to, like I said, love to connect with people. I also do weddings. So if you need any wedding advice or, guidance, it's at Euphoria Events, also on Instagram. I'd love to help my couples out.
I love that. And it's just like so fitting that you do weddings. Like such a hopeless romantic. And like now you're on the matchmaking.
I am.
Now it's perfect.
Yeah, no, I really am. And I feel like I've always been just like obsessed with love. Like that sounds so strange to say, but like I love hearing people's love stories and like talking to them about weddings and like the amount of joy, like seeing a bride and groom like on their wedding day, just like I can't even explain it. It's so amazing to be like, I helped do this and like, look how happy they are. And obviously they should be happy. They're marrying like the love of their life. But yeah, it's a great feeling. And like I said, I'm very passionate about what I do.
I totally get that because I cry at every wedding, even if I like don't know the time I cry. Just something so beautiful about it.
Yeah, I remember one of the weddings we were working, I think it was like a groom's friend or his brother or someone like that was giving their like best man speech. And me and one of the girls on my team, we were standing next to each other, and while he's giving the speech, we start crying. I'm like, we don't even know this guy.
Yeah, like of all the
people. His friends or his brother. And we were just like, what? And it was just so touching. And I'm like, wow, love is so powerful.
No, I've literally been there, done that. I like sob at every wedding. No, I feel you. Well, it was so good to catch up with you, Nadia. And I wish you the best of luck. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Have a good one.